Good morning.
Good morning.
Christmas. Okay, we're finally there. We're like the last church to start a Christmas series in the world, but we got there. We're going to do one, don't worry. It's going to start today. We just wrapped up the manhood series, the real men series, and diving right on into Christmas. So, let's get on this. But before we dive in, I got a couple announcements. Welcome. It's good to see you. Some of you I don't know. Some of you I do. Welcome. This is The Well, in case you thought you were going to another church, because it's not our building, not really our sign. Surprise. But we're glad to have you either way you got here. I'm Matt. I'm one of the pastors here, and we're excited to have you. And lots going on, and lots to be excited about. But a couple of announcements before we just completely dive in, mostly pertaining to missional communities. This is an exciting week. I'm pretty sure all of our missional communities are either having a Christmas party this week or a service project this week. So it just sounds like a lot of fun. So if you're going like, oh, I want to be in a Christmas party, then you should get on the city. You can sign up downstairs, and that's how we plug you into one of those. And if you're like, oh, I'm on the city, but nobody's anything, that's because you haven't filled out your profile. And we don't know where to put you when it's just blankness and it's just your name. So fill out your profile, fill it out, and we'd love to help plug you into a missional community. But missional communities are doing Christmas parties or service projects this week. I think one group, Chase, is your group at the Heritage House?
No?
Okay, not this week. Never mind. Scratch that. There's another group doing a service project this week. I know that. Anyways, those are all going on. Also, December 21st, December 21st, it's a Wednesday. It's not a normal missional community night, but we are going to be gathering, as with all of the missional communities, together in one place for prayer. And that's going to become a normal thing. You're going to start seeing that the last Wednesday of every month. We're going to be gathering all the missional communities together for prayer. And you're going, oh, that sounds great. Where's that going to be? We have no idea yet. We're waiting for a couple churches to get back to us. Let us know if we'll use their buildings for free. So we'll put that on the city. That'll be updated, and it'll be on the website and all that, so you can find it there. We'll make sure we get the information out to you. So be looking for that. And I really want to plug that, because I feel like prayer a lot of times gets a bad rap. You know, it's kind of the thing like, oh, I can go to that if I have free time. But we would actually say the opposite. We would say, if you like don't go to anything, we want you to be going to the prayer meeting. Because there's really nothing we're doing here that's going to be accomplished, or we're not going to see any progress or kingdom advancement here without us dropping on our knees and begging God to do something miraculous here. So we would beg you to be there at that and make that a priority and make that something you don't miss. I honestly think it's going to become one of those things that our community here looks forward to almost more than anything. I really believe that. And so I hope to see you there. It'll be elder-led. So it's not just going to be like, you know, like, dude, you're not going to have, like, somebody getting up praying for their cat, you know. It's not going to be that kind of thing, like their aunt, whatever's cat, you know, who's stuck in a tree somewhere. It's not going to be that. It's going to be intentional and focused time of dropping on our knees and begging God to do something amazing in our midst. So I want to plug that and beg you to make that an important thing. And like I said, we'll let you know as soon as we know where it's going to be. All right. Also, Christmas Eve, we're having a Christmas Eve service. There's not a Christmas morning service. So if you come here, we won't be here, but we will be here Christmas Eve, 6 o'clock, all 9 of us probably. But we'll be here. Like everywhere else, like you talk to people like, oh man, Christmas is our biggest thing. Here, everybody just leaves. Like the place becomes empty. So if you're here, we would love to celebrate with you because we're going to be here. So Christmas Eve, 6 o'clock, we're going to be doing a Christmas service here. Patch is going to be teaching that. And it's going to be a great, great, great time of worship. And so we'd encourage you to come to that and enjoy that. There's not going to be any child care at that, but we just figure it's a big family. Come on up and we'll be here together. What else? That's it. I'm done. No church Christmas Day. Let's pray and let's get after it. Father, you are good. And I hope and I pray that that's made evident this time of year. That it's a time that we are reconnecting and refocusing on the sheer fact of what you accomplished by humbling yourself and becoming a man and being born of a woman, which is just miraculous to think about. And may we be just dwelling on that this time of year. And may that be encouraging our spirits and our hearts as we go into a new year. I thank you for these people. I pray that hearts would be open. I pray that the lost would be found. And those that are struggling would be encouraged here this morning. Knit us together as a family, as a community, and bring more into your kingdom and help us to make more disciples in your city. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So we're doing basically this, a two-week Christmas series. It's the shortest series you'll get here at the Well, but it's called Promise Made, Promise Fulfilled. What we're doing over these next 2 weeks is we're going to take an Old Testament scripture and we're going to take a New Testament scripture. We're going to say the promise that God made back, way back, you know, like way back in the day, and how it was fulfilled in the birth of Christ. And so we're going to look at those and put those together and examine those over the next 2 weeks. And then we're going to look specifically at the gospel-centered focus on Christmas Eve. And it's going to be a great evangelistic kind of outreachy, almost driven. Like here's the thing. Here at the Well, like, if we ever don't give the gospel, we've done something wrong. So, like, to me, to say it's going to be evangelistic is almost silly, because everything is. But it also should be encouraging for you as believers as well. So that's what we're going to be doing. And this week, if you want to go there, it's going to take me a little bit to get there, but we're going to be in Genesis 3 and Galatians 4. So those are going to be our two places we're going to be basically camping out, so if you want to mark those and be ready to go there. Also, if you don't have a Bible, there's some on the back table. If you don't own a Bible, keyword there is own. If you don't own a Bible, you can keep it. But if you just need one for today, feel free to grab one and use it. We really encourage you to bring your Bible to church. And, you know, we don't put the words up on the screen. It's not that that's right or wrong. We're just saying we want you to know how to turn through your own Bible. So bring your Bible to church. And if you don't have one, there's some on the back table for you to go along. Nobody's going to make fun of you if you get up and go get one. It's okay. Feel free to go grab one if you would like. All right. Promise made, promise fulfilled. So let me tell you a little story. So, growing up, for me, Christmas was exceptionally confusing. My family's not good at a lot, but they're good at marrying and remarrying and remarrying multiple times, okay? Like, they're not like, crazy, like they're, it's not polygamy, okay? Like, they got divorced and remarried. That's how it worked out. But I had a lot of family that, like, weren't really blood. Let's just put it that way. Make it simple. For me to try to explain it would just blow your mind, okay? But anyways, Christmas, I spent so much time at so many different houses, bouncing from house to house to house to house. I had to go see everybody. And it was kind of confusing of, what is this all about? Because I would go somewhere, I'd sit down, I'd eat an exorbitant amount of food, I'd get presents, and then I'd leave and go repeat this process somewhere else. So I was basically raised to believe that Christmas and all, for all intents and purposes, was people giving me stuff. Like, that's all I really knew about it. I went to Catholic Mass most Christmas Eves, and it was in Latin, so it didn't really make sense. I don't speak Latin, maybe you do, but I don't, so I'd sit there and go, okay, this is interesting and weird, and we'd kneel, sit, spin, turn, do all that kind of stuff. And we do all that, and I really had no bearing for what any of this was about. And so as I got older, it started changing, where it wasn't so much like me showing up and eating and getting things, it was more like me showing up, eating, and having to spend a lot more money to give people things. And so it's kind of adjusted over time. You start seeing this, like, weird things start happening. And so, like, it left me sitting there thinking, especially right when I became a Christian, which was late in high school, going, what is, like, I don't get it. Like, I don't get what all this is about. I don't understand why we are all celebrating this thing. And you got to understand my personality. I'm one of those guys that wants to challenge everything and ask questions about everything. I'm just like, I don't get it. Like, even people who, like, if you don't believe in Jesus, I was like, why? Well, why are you buying a Christmas tree? You're putting a dead tree in your house. Like, this doesn't make sense to me if you practically think about it. And I really just didn't understand it, so I started questioning it. And so I remember when I was a kid, I actually wrote some of these down. I wrote down, what is this about? And here's some of the things I came up with when I was younger. Christmas is about being thankful. It's about reconnecting with family. This is my favorite one. It's about drinking warm things. It's about giving gifts. And to be quite honest, the list goes on and on. And if you're anything like me this time of year, the list can get exhausting of what this is about, of why we're celebrating. It's like, it's about your company Christmas party. It's about going to see people that you haven't seen in a long time and pretending like you're excited to see them. It's about doing all of these things, and the list goes on, and it becomes daunting. And somehow we've turned this time that's supposed to be a celebratory thing into this whole thing where we build it up and build it up and it never meets our expectations. And we have this massive, like, after Christmas letdown. I didn't get the thing that I wanted. You know, my mom's still crazy. Whatever it is for you, right? Like, all of those things, right? Like all of this, and it's just like this letdown. And so what I want to do this morning is this. I want to ask a question, and it's just, but it comes out of this. Generally speaking, here's what I found. Even those who don't attend a church, aren't involved in any sort of biblical community, don't claim Christ, would say Christmas at some level is about celebrating the birth of Jesus. We can just agree on that no matter where you are. But the question I want to pose is this, is why? Why is the birth of Christ worth celebrating? Why does it matter? Why is it important? Why do we do all this stuff? I think some of this stuff can probably get cut out. But why do we do this? Why do we put trees in our house? Why do we get together as family? Why do we get Christmas bonuses unless you work for a church? Why? Why? All of that. Why? And here's what I came up with. And here's what we're going to try to do. I'm going to try to convince you of this. Is that if we have a deeper understanding of why we celebrate, if we have a deeper understanding of why we celebrate Christmas, it'll tell us how to celebrate. And let me say again, if we have a deeper understanding of why we celebrate this thing, why we do all of this, then it will give us a much more understandable and logical understanding of how to celebrate. It'll help us get things laid out appropriately. Okay? So that's my goal, is why do we celebrate? So that we can understand how to celebrate. Because here's the reality. Here's one of the greatest things about being a Christian. I don't know if you know this, is that you are called to be the people that can celebrate the best. You're called to be the people that can throw the best party. How many of you go, like, yeah, I think of the church when I think of the people that throw the best party? Right? We're called to be the people that bring out the good wine when people come over. We're called to be the people that invite new people into our homes, that we're extravagant with all this stuff. But why? Like, if we don't know why we do any of this time of year, if we don't know why we give great gifts to people we love, then it's just giving gifts because we're supposed to. And I don't want to do that. I want to give great gifts because Jesus is calling me to. But I need to know why. So let's get into the text. Genesis chapter 3. And I'm just going to be in verse 15. Let me set it up a little bit. So what we've had here so far is this, and you're going to be like, what in the world does this have to do with Christmas? Hang with me. We'll get there. Okay? What in the world does this have to do with Christmas? Well, here's what's happened up to this point. We've had the creation. God has made it, and it's all good, and it's beautiful. And he sees Adam in the garden alone, and he tries to give him some animals and stuff, and that doesn't go well. He names them, and he's like, man, it is not good for him to be alone. So he creates woman, and we get the first song in the Bible. I don't know if you know this, but the very first time we man speaks in the Word of God, it's in the form of song to his wife. That's how excited he is to be in the presence of a woman. Right? Like, I don't know if any of you are busting out in song for your ladies, but if I did it, it wouldn't go well. Apparently, Adam was a better singer than me. So all this has happened, and they're together, and they're naked, and they're happy, and God has called them to eat all that they can eat, and to multiply. We know what that means. There's kids in the room. Right? And so everything is good, and the reality is, right, is from the beginning of time, all of us have been trying to get back there, right? Naked, and with food, and happy, right? Like, that's where we all want to be, if you really break it down. And not ashamed. That's the other key part, right? Not ashamed. God is like, I could be naked and have food, but I'm pretty ashamed about that. Like, right? Like, so not ashamed. Everything's good, and it's going well. And then sin enters the world and fractures it by disobedience. And everybody gets into, like, the fruit. That's just kind of the direction of, but the reality was this, is that Adam and Eve wanted to be like God. And so it's broken. It's broken. What was perfect is now fractured. We see God come down out of the heavens and walk in the garden and call for them. And he calls Adam, which we talked about quite a bit in our Real Men series. I don't have time to go into it. He calls him out and basically then says, bring your wife out. And he gives them punishments. Because God is just. Because he's right. He's not just going to let punishment go unpunished. And a lot of people, oh, that sounds mean. Like, have a kid. Okay? Like, if I just let my daughter do whatever she wanted, that would not be... Like, you know that kid. You don't want to be around that kid. Right? Like so he punishes us because he loves us. And so we catch up, and we're going to start reading, and actually the punishment he's giving to Satan. But in the punishment he gives to Satan, he gives us hope. So let's read it. It's really great. That is not working. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. This is God speaking to Satan. He says this, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Now, that just sounds crazy if you don't know what's going on here. So I want to read it one more time through. Let it sink in, and then I'm going to break it down for you, and we're going to work through it a little bit, okay? So let's read it one more time. Verse 15. I will put enmity between you and the woman. So what he's saying here is simply this, is there's going to be strife between you and humans, between Satan and human beings. There's going to be a problem here. There's going to be a battle raging here. That's what he's saying. And between your offspring and her offspring. Who is the offspring of Eve? Humans. The end. Okay? So, between all mankind and Satan, there will always be a battle going on. There will always be something going on, a war raging, and it's going to be there, is what God is saying. Now catch this. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. What we have here is called the Proto-Evangelion. Big word, Latin, it means the first gospel. And what we have here is this, is God is subtly making a promise. Listen to this. He's saying, he. Who is he that he's talking about? It isn't Jesus. He's saying, he will come. There will be a man. He will be born. And you're going to hurt him, is what he's basically saying. But he will fatally wound you, Satan. So it's the first time we see God giving us a glimpse of what his plan is going to be in the future. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. So what we see, I love the way Matthew Henry, he's an old theologian, he's dead, doesn't live anymore. He said it this way. No sooner was the wound of sin inflicted on the human race, the remedy was provided. Do you see the grace of God in this? No sooner was the horrificness, the wound of sin inflicted, then God said, I love my people and I'm going to give them hope. There is going to be a way out. And it's subtle, right? It's subtle. The Old Testament works through it and builds and builds and builds and gives us more specifics and more specifics and more specifics until we crescendo at John calling out in the wilderness for the coming of the Messiah, right? And we'll deal with that in a minute. The remedy is Jesus. God the Father is saying his son, Jesus, will be born of a woman, is what this is saying. Will be born of a woman, and his mission in life will be to crush Satan. Hear me. Like, he's telling us this right now. Jesus will be born. I will send my son. This is the promise that we had from the Old Testament coming out. Listen, I will send my son, and his whole mission will be to crush Satan. He will bruise your heel, but he will crush his head. Right? Okay. We see God here making a promise to send his son. Go here. Romans chapter 16:20, if you want. Romans chapter 16, verse 20 says this. This is talking about Jesus, just falling kind of right in line, going back and forth between the Old Testament and New Testament. The God of peace, who is who? Jesus. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Don't you love it when he just talks like that? Hey, by the way, Satan's going to get crushed under your feet. Grace and peace. I'm out. Like, that's kind of how he goes. Drop the mic moment, right? Okay, three of you know what that means. All right. So, grace and peace comes. So, we're seeing time and time again that Jesus' mission is going to be what? It's going to be to crush Satan. How awesome is that? So the question is still out there, though. Why is this a good promise? What does this have to do with Christmas? How does this help us celebrate? Why does the fact that God made a promise in Genesis chapter 3 that he's going to send his son and he's going to crush Satan? Why does this give us anything to worship this time of year? Nobody knows? I'm just joking. That'd be really awkward. The answer to why this promise made is a good promise is found in the fulfillment of it. Now follow me. The reason that this promise is good and we can find a way to sell is found in the fulfillment of it. So let's go. Promise made. I'm going to send my son and he's going to crush Satan. Promise fulfilled. Let's go to Galatians chapter 4. You guys are going to get out of here probably earlier than you ever have in the history of a Matt Patrick sermon. I'm flying today. Too much coffee. Galatians 4, verse 4. Check this out. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. There we see the fulfillment, right? Born under the law. What are we talking about here? Well, we see that the law was made based out of the fact that sin came into the world. There was no law before that because there needed no governance because God was king and he was ruling it and it was all perfect. So now he's saying Jesus will be born under the law. He will come into this fractured state. So we're seeing it here in Galatians 4. He sent his son at the fullness of time. Catch that. The fullness of time. You know God isn't flippant. Like, he doesn't just like, oh, now sounds good. He has a plan. And it was the fullness of time. It was, this is the perfect moment. I've been working this together. I've been knitting this together. The people that were born at this time were born for this reason. Pontius Pilate existed because God wanted him to exist at this time. The Roman Empire conquered all the armies that it conquered and did what it did so that God could accomplish his will. Let that blow your mind for a second. God did it. He put it all into motion from the beginning of time, was working everything together because he keeps his promises. The promise will be fulfilled when he makes a promise. Let's read it again. Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. How good is that? See, Galatians 4:4 is this, is basically Genesis 3:15 completed. It's the promise kept. But catch this, Galatians 4, verse 5 gives us the why that we're asking. It's great that it's completed. We know he's not pulling our chain, right? Like, he can be trusted. But verse 5, 6, and 7 give us the why. Why can we celebrate? Catch this. Let's not miss it, okay? Verse 5, let's read it. Why? To redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. The promise is good. The reason the promise is good, because he redeems you. That's why it's good. That's why it's good, is because he redeems you. You, the person sitting in the chair in this room right now. He redeems you. He redeems you. That is so good. How many of us in here need to know that the reality is you have been redeemed and you can relax for a minute. You can take the deep breath. You can exhale because he has accomplished it, not you. He has redeemed you. And not just redeemed you in some superficial, out there, outlandish God pie in the sky, but as what? As sons and daughters. As sons of God. By his birth. By the birth of Jesus. That's why we're celebrating here. Are you starting to see it? The fact that he is born is showing us that God is fulfilling his promise to do what? To redeem us. To bring us back to him. To restore what was broken by our father Adam and our mother Eve. And that's why Jesus is called the new Adam. His birth is the triumphant entry of the fulfillment of his promise to redeem his people. Man. Verse 6 through 7 goes further. Check this out. And because you are sons, listen to this. Like, this is the best Christmas ever. Right here. Like, you should be able to read this and go, I don't need anything. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. That means he's making us cry out to the Father. Do you even get that? Like, we can't even do that? How crazy is that? He has to send the Spirit. Like, that's how jacked up I am. That God has to send his Spirit for me to be able to worship appropriately God the Father, who's worthy of all worship. But he does. Man, what patience from the Father. Verse 7, so you are no longer a slave. You're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. You're an heir through God. Let's think about this for a minute. Let's just time out and just contemplate this for a second. What I just said. Because a lot of times we just read this and go, oh, that's cool. Listen to me. God, do you know who he is? I'm going to tell you in case you don't. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth. He has existed before time existed. He doesn't wonder about what's happening tomorrow. He's already there. He makes everything beautiful. Everything he does is perfect and just and right. He is perfect in love and justice and wrath. He is kind. He's fearful. He's glorious. And he's your dad.
Amen.
He's your dad. Right? Like, come on now. Like, he's your dad and he's giving you gifts. He said, come in. And so it's so mind-blowing when we sit here and we go, really? Okay, well, I would rather do it my way. Or no, I'm good with this. And he's saying, I'm trying to give you gifts of the kingdom of God. Come on, Matt, wake up. He's saying to the men here, he's saying, like, I'm giving you gifts of the kingdom of God, and you would choose pornography over that. No, that's not good enough for my kids. He's saying to the men, he's saying, man, I'm giving you a great wife, but you would rather look at other women. And he's saying, no, that's not good enough. I have so much better for you. He's saying for the women in here, he's saying, I have given you a man who is loving. Don't rebel against him. Don't fight him. I've given you, that's the best I have for you. He's saying the kids in here, I've given you parents. Obey them and love them. Because that's what I have for you. But we would rather go other ways, wouldn't we? And we prove that time and time again. And I could go down the list of no matter what it is, right? And the reality is that we are heirs of the kingdom of God. That we are sons and daughters of the God of the Most High. The one true God. That's who we are. That's ridiculous. That's insane. Who in here is like, yeah, I deserve that. I worked really hard, got that, checked that one off. None of us. I've shared this analogy before, but the gift of grace, the grace that God gives us and the love that he gives us as he saves us, is equivalent to, I had a high school, I used to be a youth pastor, he came to me and said, he was starting to get the gospel, right? It was starting to make sense for him. Like, you could see the wheels turning. That's so great when you see that in kids. When they start clicking for him, and they're going, oh, I get it. That's why Jesus said. And he goes, it's kind of like, he just got his driver's license, and he's like, it's kind of like I pull up to a stoplight, and I stop, and some dude just runs up to me and hands me a gold brick and runs away. I was like, kind of. I mean, that works. I'm not going to say no. It's the best analogy I've ever heard. It came from a 16-year-old kid who just got a driver's license. But we get the gift of the Holy Spirit that aligns our hearts. You get life over death. By his birth, life, death, and resurrection, he has redeemed us. Holy cow. He's freed us from slavery. Who in here needs to know that at Christmas season, right? Like, who needs that? I do. I bet you do too. That what feels heavy, what feels like you can't carry, what feels like you can't win, what feels like it's just that vicious cycle of going, God, I hate this and I can't defeat it. Listen, you don't get victory in just knowing that. You get victory in understanding the cross and that it has been defeated for you, so you can stop trying so hard and know that you have been set free.
Amen.
From that. You've been set free from that. That he has redeemed you. And I'm just beating the same drum repeatedly here just so you get it. And so that I get it. Because we need to hear that, don't we? Don't we need that? Don't you need to hear that in your missional communities? Don't you need to hear that from your friends? Like, don't you need to hear people say, man, you're redeemed. You know that? Because a lot of times you can get together and be like, man, you got to stop doing this. Sometimes we just need to hear, man, you are redeemed by the blood of Christ. You just need to know that today. Make that something you actually do this Christmas season. Let people know that they're redeemed. It's the greatest gift ever. How did Jesus do this? How did he do this? How did he give us this gift, this phenomenal Christmas present, if you will? The best gift ever given? By doing this, by being in heaven and being holy and perfect. Don't miss this. And humbling himself. And becoming a man. He wasn't born a man. He would say that, but he was born as a baby. Like, that's what we're celebrating here, right? How crazy is God, by the way? Like, how insane is he that he chooses an infant? Do you understand the fear that shuddered through Satan and demons when an infant was born? You ever held a baby? Like, I mean, I remember, so we had Sophie, and she's our first. And we're at the hospital, and like every move you do, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to break her. Like, you put them in the car when you get home, and it's insane, by the way. Like, for those of you who haven't had any kids yet, it's insane when they let you go home. You're like, nobody's coming with me? They're like, no, you read Baby Was, right? You're good. You're good. Go on. And you're like, I don't know. Like, for real? Like, I just get to leave? Like, I had to sign more paperwork when I rented a U-Haul. Right? And it's just freaky. And you put her in the car. And you buckle her up. And you're supposed to use it as straps. So like, and it's like, oh my gosh, are you okay? You know, like, you're worried about everything. And she's so tiny, I'm like looking at it. I drove like 5 miles an hour the whole way. Like, I'm just like, nope, I don't even care how mad you are behind me right now. Like, I'm afraid to go around turns too fast because her head might turn. Like, that happens. Like, you don't know. But Jesus was born just like that. His mother Mary holding him. This is God incarnate, and have to feed him? How crazy is God? Okay, that was for free. That was nowhere in the sermon. So he does this by coming, being born just like that. And he lives the life he couldn't live, and he dies. Listen, he died on the cross for claiming to be God. But that was all in his mission. To redeem us. That's what we needed. Because we needed somebody to substitute what we are on the cross. Because we weren't able to go there. Because we aren't perfect. And he came and said, I will take this upon myself. Because I love you so much. And I will suffer. And he did. He suffered to the point of death. He was buried. 3 days later, he rose. Ultimately conquering sin, Satan, and death. And he will never come again like that. When we see him again, he will come back in glory. Revelation 19. We talked about it last week. It's awesome. Okay? That's how he did it. So why do we celebrate? I want to give us, real quick, I'm going to go through three reasons of why we celebrate. Let me give it to you up front. Christmas, the reason we celebrate Christmas is because it's all about these three things. God's love, God's faithfulness, and God's triumph over evil. That's why we celebrated Christmas. Because of God's love, God's faithfulness, and God's triumph over evil. Love. God left his place in perfection because of you. Because he loves you. And he cares for you. And you're his son, or you're his daughter, and he loves you. Right? Galatians 4:4. Let's go back to our text. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. Listen, he didn't have to do that. Right? Watch a mother with her children. Watch close friends with one another when somebody's suffering. You get a glimpse of that, don't you? The willingness to do things, it doesn't really make sense. Like, it's not convenient. It's not helpful for you necessarily to do those things, right? You ever done that for a friend? You ever sat there when you didn't want to be there, when there's other things you'd rather do? Those are just glimpses of what Jesus' love is like for you. When a mother's holding a child, or I just think of holding Sophie and like, every limb of my body is completely asleep. But I'll stay there, right? Because I love her. And it's great. Comfort doesn't matter anymore, right? Comfort goes away. But now what matters is the one that you love. That's what we see as Jesus comes down. And all of those are just the smallest little glimpses of the amount of love that he has for us. To faithfulness. He shows us that his promises are true. When he says, hey, I'm coming back to make this right. When God the Father says, he will bruise your heel, but he will crush his head. We see this promise being fulfilled. He is trustworthy. Some of you need to know that you can trust him. That's what's holding you back. Because you've been hurt, because somebody else has been unfaithful, because somebody else has hurt you. And listen to me, everybody has been unfaithful to you. Everybody has been untrustworthy. He is the only thing that is truly faithful, truly trustworthy. And when he makes a promise, it is kept. He makes a promise, he keeps it. He's not playing around. This isn't a game to him. He keeps it. Galatians 4 through 5, right? But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. That was his promise, that he will begin to redeem all things, to reconcile, which means to bring back all things to himself. We see right here that he's keeping that promise. Why are we fighting him? He's faithful. You can trust him. And three, triumph over evil. The third reason we celebrate Christmas is because he triumphs over evil. The arrival of Jesus, the birth of Jesus, is the beginning of his triumph over Satan. All the hope of the world, of all time, had been waiting for that moment when he was born. To announce that God is here. He is incarnate. He is in flesh. And he has come to keep his promise. He's come to be king. And to be his people's king. He's come to save us. Like, think about that. Think about that. The birth of Christ was like the gates opening to let us know the king has arrived. Six through seven. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father, so you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. He was born to triumph over evil so that you could be free. This is why we celebrate Christmas, isn't it? Because of God's love, because of God's faithfulness, and because he has defeated Satan. Hear me on that. He has crushed his skull. He has inflicted a mortal wound. There is no recovery for Satan. He's still out there, but he is dying. He's weak. He's powerless, technically. The only power he has comes from us and what we allow. And our God has redeemed us. So, now go out. Leave here today. Leave here. If you're going somewhere, may I pray for you? I pray for you to go out. And I'm going to go back to my list. But now, put everything through this filter. That as I celebrate this Christmas, as I gather with people, as I do things, as I decorate a tree in my home, which is so weird to me still when I really think about it. When I do all these things, when I have an elf on a shelf, or no matter what it is, right? Now go and give. Man, give extravagantly. But now you know why. Because he gave. Give great gifts because Jesus gave you the gift of salvation. He has redeemed you. Now you have a reason to give. It's not just open-ended. Not because what you're supposed to. Supposed to do right. Now you give great gifts because you've been given the greatest gift of all. Go. Connect with family. Reconnect with them. Connect with friends. Do the things you're going to do, but do it because God has loved you so much, and he loved you so much that you were supposed to go and be a missionary into your families and into your friends' lives to share the gospel for the saved and not saved. Go drink warm things to the glory of God, by all means. Do it for his glory. Have fun with it. Just as you sit there, just hold something warm in your hands. Like, I love that, by the way. Like, I don't know what it is with warm things. And you're like, I can take like a 9-hour shower if my hot water. Just hold it and just go, you're good. You've allowed me to do this. Your grace is amazing that I get to sip this hot beverage with maybe something special inside of it. I don't know. Maybe you like that. Maybe you do. Right? And just do it for his glory now. You have a reason to do that because he rose. Because he's faithful, because he's loving. Be thankful as you receive anything because now you know you deserve nothing. So what you receive, it's all a bonus. There is no more such thing as a Christian who goes, man, I didn't get the gift I wanted. You have received the gift that you need. No matter what. How silly do some of our gifts seem in the light of that, right? And don't hear me hating on it. Like, I love good stuff. Give great gifts. Give me great gifts. I'll take them. I'm fine with that. But man, let it be in light of the greatest gift that was ever given. Give, reconnect. Drink, eat, love, enjoy, play, but do it all to the glory of God. Because God loves you, God is faithful to you, and that He has defeated Satan. But now go and do it because Jesus is giving you the power through His Holy Spirit to do it with all of your heart. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for this Christmas season. And I know that we can tend to just kind of mess up what you've made so beautiful. I do often. Help us to focus on Your glory first and foremost in all of these things. Let us sit there as we connect with one another and with family and with friends to sit back and be so thankful that You gave Your Son in our place as our substitute so that we may be redeemed. How good a news is that? You're so good to us. May we know how to give extravagantly, but with purpose. May we know how to eat and invite people into fellowship. May we know how to worship and all of that, because it's not just music. May we know how to do all of that together in just a way that glorifies You. May my prayer for this body, Lord, is that we would go out here, a people on mission at Christmas. That it's not a time off, but now we are refocused as we go on mission. Because we know that You're redeeming all things, but for whatever reason, You've chosen us, Your body, Your church, to do it. Thank You for that. And ultimately, may we meditate and be thankful on the fact that You are willing to come down, to step out of perfection in heaven, out of glory, to come into our mess and be born of a virgin. Thank You for that. Put that on our minds as we leave this place, of how good You are to us. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.